Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, where we celebrate the joy in just being you. I'm Natasha, your certified sex and intimacy coach and clinical sexologist. Just call me your guide to unlocking pleasure. With years of experience in helping individuals embrace pleasure beyond sex, I'm here to empower you to rediscover the beauty of pleasure in every aspect of life. So settle in, relax, and get ready to savor the wisdom and insights we're about to drop. This is your space to be present, learn, and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If you have been here before, thank you for returning. And if you are new to this space, welcome. I hope you go to past episodes and get some gems to start in your action-oriented, pleasurable life. This episode, I have a guest for you. Yes, I do. I am introducing you to my friend, Shanique Allen. I felt that this episode was fitting because there are a lot of people who are going to flood the gyms and clean out their refrigerators and say, I'm going on a diet or I'm going to the gym. And studies show that this is not sustainable. And this definitely starts to, I'm laughing because I was one of them not so long ago, and I don't do that anymore. You will not catch me in anybody's gym. As I stated, I am doing a juice fast, but I am thinking lifestyle. I'm not thinking about weight or any of that. So we will get into that with Shanique. But before I introduce her to you, I want to invite you to my virtual sister circle, Cocoa and Champagne, which is a safe space that I have curated for Black women to come and talk about what they are yearning for in their lives, what pleasure they want in their lives, what they are craving, what they are desiring in their lives, so that it can be witnessed, so that it can be seen, and so that it can be encouraged by me and those that look like you. So if that is a space that you find interesting and you want to kind of see what we got going on in there, head to the show notes, click on the link, and get on the list so that you know the next group that we are having. Now let me introduce you to my girl, Shanique. Shanique is a nutrition and nourishment strategist. She's on a mission to help women ditch the rigidity of dieting and nourish themselves with simple and good food, joyful movement, and satisfying care. She believes that letting go of rigid food and movement rules and leaning into exploration of food, movement, and joy to nourish your whole being is the body and soul health we all need. Oh, that sounds so good. And this was a really, really good conversation. So tune in, tap in, and I will see you on the other side. So Shanique, I felt like this conversation was necessary and perfect for January. One, you caught me in the middle of a juice fast. I am on day two, not because I want to lose weight, but just there were some things that needed to change. But also January is the month where everybody is going to file into the gyms and play on the machines, and come about February, they are going to die off. So I want to get your perspective and maybe some creative ways on how people can start looking at nutrition and this diet culture in a different way to where they can actually sustain these goals through all of 2024 and not fall off, because we all know it's a lifestyle change. I'm not going to the gym. I'm going to be right here at the house doing my yoga. And like I said, my juice fast was because I didn't like what, it's not to lose weight. I see things differently as I get older. I see that food is making me bloat. I'm not fat. I am bloated. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to experience my body when I put different things in it. So what is your thought of how people go into January with their nutrition?
Well, I believe that you're free to change your mind. And I'm somebody, when you get new information or have a different lived experience, you're free to recant what you would previously say, or you go back and you can change your mind, because that's just the way we operate and we evolve. So the new year, I used to believe that the folks who jump on the cleanse and get started in the, so I used to believe on the cleanse side of things, it's the reset. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Everybody should do one. on the gym side of things or the fitness side of things, I used to be the annoyed person at the folks who come into the gym and take up all the space and the machines and are yap chatting on, with each other on their phone, because I was a quote unquote serious gym rat, and I was all about my workouts. But as I've lived, had many experiences, both from the being a fitness professional, having my own, I wouldn't say crisis. I don't want to use the word crisis so much as my own series of transitions. It's shifted my perspective, because everybody wants some kind of change. Everybody, for whatever reason, they see some kind of change that they want to make, and they figure these are the ways to do it. I want to, whether it's to lose weight or I want to change something in my diet, I have to start from scratch. So I have to do a reset. I want to get fit or whatever the case is, I have to join the gym and start fresh. Now, there is psychology, as you might know, behind some of this. I'm not an expert on that piece of it, but there's psychology behind, and there's science, let me put it that way, that speaks to people. There's something about this new start, and whether and January 1 being a perfect thing, and there's something about it, and there's success behind it. But for the most part, a lot of folks, whether it's January 1 or their birthday or Monday, so it could be January 1, it could be
Monday.
Monday, it's I'll start fresh on Monday. And the way I see it is, you're free to do whatever you want. But the question I always ask before you do that is, and then what? So you start on January 1, whether it's with the reset, it's to start in the gym, and what happens when quote unquote life intervenes? Because everybody is on the of the idea that I have these things perfectly set up and my life is going to go perfectly well. And January 1, with this fresh start, the assumption is nothing is going to get in my way, and therefore I'm going to keep things going at whatever momentum or pace I've set come January 1 to January 5th or 10th, right? But the reality is, a lot of folks going with this all or nothing mentality, that it has to be perfect. It must, the series of events must happen without interruption. Otherwise, I have to start over, or it's not good enough. So for anyone who's of that mindset, the awareness that that's where you're at is important. And for a lot of folks, this might go over their head and they might not care about this at all. They just want what they want, and that's totally fine. But you have to ask yourself, and then what? What happens when your child gets sick, for instance, and your 7 a.m. run to the gym becomes you having to go with your child to the doctor, so it interrupts your gym routine for 3 days in a row, or you can't even leave your house? What happens then? What happens when work deadlines become such that you get engrossed in whatever you're doing, and the meal that you said you were going to eat at 9 a.m. it's 1 p.m. and you've not yet eaten? What happens then? So how do you set yourself up to keep doing the things that you started fresh come on January 1 when you hit March 31st, right? And so asking yourself, then what? But also, what's the motivation behind it? And people always say, what is your why? I think that is so broad, because our whys change over time, and our whys have levels to them. So you could want to, somebody saying that they want to lose weight, that's not the why. What is behind the need to lose weight? What's driving that? There's something behind that. There's a why behind that. And even there's a why behind that. They always say ask five whys. At least that's what I've always heard. You ask five whys to get to the root of the thing. And for a lot of folks, my light went out. For a lot of folks, a lot of folks are, I wouldn't say afraid, but they have not gone deep enough to understand their why, or to know why it is that they want to do what they're doing. So I think somebody might be, well, I need to get this weight off. And so the question is, what about the weight? What makes the weight the thing? If you do whatever you're doing, your weight doesn't change, what then? What is behind that? It might be maybe my blood work shows that my cholesterol is high and I need to get the weight off. I said, but is the weight that's the thing causing your cholesterol? What about the foods that you're eating? What about the things that you might be ignoring? What about the stress that's happening behind? What about the boundaries that you're not setting? Those things outside of just looking at your weight and outside of looking at the cholesterol, what are those things that are driving your desire to make this change? And if you can identify that, then it can, help you set yourself up for a little more longevity, and sustainability, but also resilience, because the point of the matter, a fact, you're going to get interrupted. You are going, it's just a fact. You are not going to, you might have 2 weeks where things are good, and then you're going to have another 2 weeks where, okay, shit hit the fan, or some shit's happening, or there's something that's throwing you off schedule. Are you going to, quote unquote, give up, or are you going to take a small step in that? Because if you go 2 weeks and you have not gone to the gym, what tends to happen is people will be like, well, I've not gone to the gym in 2 weeks, I have to start over.
Yep, on Monday.
Versus versus looking at it as, okay, I haven't been to the gym in 2 weeks, where can I start? Because I like to say you don't start necessarily from scratch, you start from experience. Because if you take everything that happens is either a lesson or another lesson. So whether you want to look at it as a failure or a win, that's up to you. But in most cases, it's a lesson, and there's something to be gleaned from it. So if you know that after 2 weeks, you're like, okay, I'm losing motivation, or I can't keep this up, the question you have to ask yourself is, what's the lesson here? If I can't keep it up, it means, okay, maybe I need to scale it back. There ain't nothing wrong with scaling it back. So if you're trying to go to gym 5 days a week when you weren't going to the gym one time a week, what do you think is going to happen? Versus, let me try getting to the gym once a week or maybe twice a week. You know what I mean? And let me see if I can keep up that two times a week for the next 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And then I reevaluate after that. But so many of us want to jump from 0 to 60 real quick. And that is where we shoot ourselves in the foot. So, what are the small steps that you can take? I always say have a bare minimum. And we don't, tr we have this obsession with being achieving the next best level or the best level or being your best. I have a problem with
Yeah,
that.
I do too. I've gotten better, but yeah, it's like, okay, the
I have a problem with that because
checkpoint.
it's exhausting. It's exhausting always trying to be the best. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with achieving highly and aiming for high standards or having high standards. I'm saying, what happens when you're tired? You can still do something when you're tired, but a lot of us do things when we're tired and still judge the fact that we're tired instead of recognizing that we're tired. And one, we might need to rest, or two, the what we do while we're tired, let's count that as a win. That's 100% you've given. If you're tired and you still put out the effort, that's 100%. That is your best in any given moment. So I just said a whole bunch of things, but and I hope you can pick it out from, because that's the thing with me. Once I get started, I start rambling and all kinds of things. But coming into the new year, I would love for folks to honestly or be honest with themselves as far as what it is they're after. And especially if you're a woman over 40, that can be it. I'm not saying it's going to be easier. I just figure that with women over 40 and our lived experiences, it kind of sheds some light on a lot of things, especially in the last 3 years, with how many of us have, felt the exhaustion and the fatigue from, the circles we've been running around ourselves, or the superwoman syndrome, especially if you're a black woman, especially as a black woman. We've been running on this high for however long, and the pandemic just really brought all of that to a head to say, hey, you have to reevaluate, like what you were doing is not sustainable. So going into the new year, what are you going to do that is going to honor the fact that you don't want to return to those levels of exhaustion? So regardless of what you were doing before, 2024 presents an opportunity for you to really get in touch with yourself, which is what I think a lot of us are trying to do. get really in touch with ourselves, examine the parts of us that we've ignored, or not paid attention to, and really tap into honoring that. So I'm going to go back to, you said you started with a juice cleanse and the whole reset idea. I'm not somebody that's going to knock what folks are trying to do, because at the end of the day, I think we're all trying to do what's best for us. And I might not agree with things like that, but at the same time, one thing I want to encourage folks is know why you're doing what you're doing, and that it is serving you best, and honoring your body. But also recognize that your body is not trying to go to war with you. That's the first thing. Your body ain't trying to go to war with you. And that culture, I believe, has just painted that in our heads that our bodies are the problem. And so we must do everything we can in our power to control, to contort, to shrink it. Because it's not supposed to be fat, it's not supposed to be queer, it's not supposed to be, imperfect. You're not supposed to have these flaws. You have to have a snatch waist, you have to have all kinds of things, big boots, big behind. And I'm like, not everybody is meant to look like that. We all live in different bodies, and what's healthy on one body might not be healthy on another body. In fact, I want to say healthy looks different on every kind of body, because that's the thing. Bodies are diverse, and a lot of us have been led to believe that there's only one kind of body that exists, or one ideal type of body that exists. And we know the roots of that. That's not, we know where that's coming from. And it's time for us to challenge that, because if you've been fighting yourself for the last 20, 30 years to be a size that you're not going to be, and you're still trying to lose that 10 pounds or that 15 pounds, and it's not gone anywhere and it's not changing. The question you have to ask yourself, are you supposed to be that 15 or 20 pounds lighter, or are you supposed to be focused on nourishing yourself as you are now? Because a lot of us are holding on to what we were when we were in high school, or
Oh
what we
gosh,
were when
yes.
we were 20s. And that's a noose around a lot of our necks. And I'm not saying people can't change their bodies if they want to. I mean, do what you want. It's your body. Body autonomy is a real thing. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, are you beating yourself against a wall because you've been conditioned to think that your body is a problem? Or are you honestly trying to get in touch with what you need and what your body needs? Because a lot of us are disconnected from our bodies. A lot of women, 100%, are disconnected from our bodies. We cannot sit still in them. We and that's coming from so many places. I mean, I said we live for, and as a therapist, you should know that we spend our adulthood trying to heal from the traumas of our childhood. So, and you see it with the parents, you see it with the aunties, you see it in the environments you're in, where bodies are constantly just policed, and bodies are constantly put down, and bodies are constantly contorted. So we take that into our everyday living. So the new year becomes another. We all line up at the start line, see who can push their bodies the most through the year. Push their bodies, beat their bodies, however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it loving their bodies. I don't care what you want to call it, but the point is, starting the year, it's one thing wanting to honor and nourish your body, and it's another trying to live your life to control it, because we do not have as much control over our bodies as we think we do.
You answered like all my podcast episode over. No. So I have been all those people. I have been the person in January, I'm in the gym. And I think when you say sustainability, that was like a light bulb that I had to get, right? Like, girl, you don't like being in the gym. You don't like being in the gym. When you do it and you get to a point, it's great. But like those first couple weeks, month, or whatever, you don't like it. You prefer softer things. You prefer yoga. You like to go dance. Like those are the things you like. And at some point, I had to tell myself, Natasha, that definitely is a form of working out. Like if you were to do that enough, it'll make you feel good in your body. And I think I had to change from worrying about my weight in my body and worrying about more so of just like, do I enjoy how I feel
in my body, if that makes sense. Like I don't own a scale. I don't sit on a, I don't get on a scale. But because of the last couple of years, I've been more focused on, well, what do you want to tell me? What do you want? Not what my mind wants you to want, but like what do you want? And that's where I've started kind of stepping out of the box of, well, what could physical activity look like for me? What, let me try this food. What is this food? Oh my gosh. I do not like black-eyed peas, but someone else made it and it was so, I tore that food up. So then it was light bulb. I was like, well, maybe it's how the food is being prepared. If I could just pay someone to make food for me, then I probably would eat the stuff that I say that I won't eat. So yeah, all the things that you said makes perfect sense.
I knew I should have interject because that's me now. I'll forget. But yeah, so when you said, you started to, because this takes work. I mean, you get out of your head and into your body, and that is a hard thing for so many of us, so many women to do, especially because of what they have running in their heads about what their bodies are supposed to be and look like. And you said when you stop focusing on the weight and start exploring what your body wanted, things shifted as far as you exploring movement and exercise differently. And I mean, that is just that's and for want of a better word, I love that. For want of a better phrase, I love that. Why? Because there's that curiosity element, and this is something that I encourage people all the time. And when I was coaching, this is the one thing I would ask folks: what is it that you want to do? What is your body telling you? Not your head, not the voices in your head, because that's the other thing. So many women are running around with voices that aren't their own in their heads about what their bodies ought to be or should not be. And when they do that, it becomes this tug of war. Well, this. All the health folks say that my body is supposed to be this, but my body says I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to go to the gym. And I'm like, well, so don't go to the gym. But if I don't go to the gym, then I am going to my body. I'm just gonna get out of control, or I'm gonna my body. I'm just gonna let my body go. I'm like, let's stick a pin right there. Let your body go. What does that mean? Well, my body's going to change. I said again, this is, and that's where we have to start. The fact that you believe that your body doesn't have the permission to change and that your body isn't supposed to change. And when you hold on to that, you do not create a safe space for your body to do anything, to be what it needs to be. Because if you say your body's not supposed to change, then what do you think you're going to do? You're going to ignore every single signal that comes from your body that says, hey, I would like to not do this. I want things to change. And what's going to happen? You're going to either end up sick. You're going to end up injured if you're in the gym. You're going to dismiss the signs and signals of something that could be potentially life-threatening because you are focused so much on a number on a scale or the ways in which your body is changing. So women, especially as we get into that perimenopause, menopause period, that's another transition. So many women, like in truth, it does feel like it sneaks up on us, because this is my in my own experience, this is what I believe. This is why I believe it feels like it sneaks up on you, because we spend so much of our time thinking that our 30-year-old body or 20-year-old body, focusing on keeping it that way, right? And the moment we take a break, so whether we move somewhere else or we go through this period of, transition, whether you're changing career or you have to take care of ailing parents, or just think of something life shifting that happens and you step out of the norm of going to the gym 5 times a week, eating the rabbit food. Doing all the cardio. The moment you stop that or ease back on that and your body changes, rather than look at it as, okay, things have shifted and therefore my body is reflecting the shift, what happens is
We panic.
we not only panic, but before we panic, we judge. My body is this, is changing. Therefore, I am trash. Therefore, I don't care about my body. Therefore, I've let my body go. And we create.
Can you,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, can you speak to, because this is kind of what you're like talking about, the judgment of your body. Can you speak to allowing yourself, your body to be safe with you? Because we spend so much time in our minds, we treat our body, well, first of all, we don't even acknowledge that our body is part of us. But like it has a feeling, like it exists, it feels, it kind of moves like its own person. So you saying that we need to allow a safe space for our body, I feel like I need you to go deeper into that. 'Cause the judgment that you're talking about is part of that. Like your body knows when you don't like it and when you're talking shit about it.
Yeah, a safe space for your body. I mean, I honestly, because I talk about this so much, creating that safe space is really letting go of the preconceived ideas, and in particular our fat phobia, one, and that diet culture mentality, which filters into everything that we do, every facet of our lives. That your body is this thing to be controlled, and it's all about control. And we feel that once our body changes, and we have lost control, and that losing of control becomes an attachment, an indictment on our worth and our value. So because we can't control our body, we aren't in control of our lives, therefore our value has diminished. And once there's that, because there's that attachment, that's the first thing, the attachment to your body being a reflection of your value. And when your body is a reflect, or when you see your body as a reflection of your value and your worth, then you're going to do everything to prove that you are worth it. And that means controlling your body, shrinking it, keeping it a certain size, right? And in that process, we completely disregard all the ways our body is begging for us to listen, even just a small way. Something as simple as hunger. I will not simple because it's complex and nuanced. Everybody's experience with hunger, for instance, varies. Some of us experience hunger or don't want to experience hunger, probably because of probably things you went through as a child, in terms of always facing hunger. Maybe you grew up, on food stamps and not having access to food. Some people were always told to clean their plates, even though they were full and didn't want to go further than that. So, or your experience with hunger might shape how you respond or don't respond to it. No. So when, let's use hunger as an example. You might use hunger as a thing to control. You're thinking if you are hungry, it means you're not eating as much, and that's a good thing, right? But what this does is it disconnects you from the fact that your body needs energy, your brain needs energy, and it, rather than giving yourself food, you drink another cup of coffee, because the hunger is that control mechanism, right? So you will eat, but you will eat a small amount. And then the hunger that you experience when you add that culture to that, that says being hungry is a good thing. So it means that you, first of all, you cannot trust your hunger. So when your hunger is speaking, no, that's you being greedy, right? So therefore, if you can control your portions, if you can control what you eat, then you are doing a good thing. And you doing a good thing means that you're of value, because it means you're controlling your body. But you're ignoring the fact that your body is hungry, and
Right, you hungry.
your body needs the energy. And without, if you're not giving your body that energy, hunger becomes muted eventually over time. It's like somebody talking to you all the time and you're just ignoring them to the point where you absolutely can't, just not hearing them. That's the thing. And a lot of folks lose touch with that signal. So the typical signal of your belly rumbling, for instance, Not everybody's going to feel hunger that way, but most people associate that with hunger. So they ignore things like fatigue. Fatigue is a sign, is also a symptom. Brain fog is a symptom. Irritability is a symptom. Being fidgety is a symptom of me being needing energy, you needing to feed yourself, right? But this keeps our body in a state of heightened awareness, heightened, what's the word? Not awareness. Agitation is the word I'm looking for. And this agitation distracts us from the fact that, okay, we are not, we are not listening to our body. In fact, we are controlling our body, and that's the thing we want. And when we do that, eventually we lose touch, and later on are spending time trying to figure out what has gone wrong. When you suffer from binge eating, when you end up with things like stomach ulcers, these types of things, for instance. I'm not saying it with judgment. I'm just saying with the fact that we spend so much time dismissing the things that our body is telling us, that we end up in situations that we then have to recover from, that we have to spend time healing from. And that is where it's a case of your body forcing you to do that. And a lot of women get to that point where your body forces you to do that. Whereas being proactive enough or having the awareness to know that you cannot spend your time ignoring your body, because eventually it's going to catch up with you. So it means intentionally taking the break to have something to eat, intentionally starting your day with something as opposed to just having coffee, because coffee is not a meal. Let us just state that coffee is not a meal. It is not a meal. It is not a
Coffee
meal.
is not a meal, people.
A
Coffee is not a
yogurt,
meal.
an apple is not a meal. A meal is something that is going to satiate you. It's going to satisfy you. And it's going to give you the energy you need to function through the day or through the morning until it's the next time you need to eat. So that safe space that you're creating is that relation, that connection you're creating with your body. That says when your body says, I'm hungry, then your body's going to trust that you're going to pause to give it what it needs. When your body says, I need rest, it's going to trust that you are going to give it the rest that it needs, because otherwise, your body's resilient. So it's going to do what it needs to do. But then it's going to get to a point where it's going to sit your ass down, for want
Oh,
of a better
absolutely.
phrase, because it's time for you to listen. And the sad fact is it manifests in many different ways. The trouble I have with this is people use that as a tool to judge others and themselves. Oh, I did this to myself. I mean, you can say that if you want, but at the end of the day, where is that going to get you? Versus,
Right.
I realize that I've not had healthy coping tools for whatever else is happening in my life. And so I've used my body as that beating stick for the most part. So my body pays a price for the lack of control, or the lack of control in other areas of my life. And that's the other thing. The body becomes the tool that you try to manipulate because other things aren't happening the way you want. And so we create that disconnection with ourselves. I'll use the gym as an example. You might be going to the gym 5 days a week, and you figure the only way it's worth it is if you're working up a sweat and you're doing all these high intensity exercises Monday through Friday. You don't give your body enough time to recover. And you go weeks doing this, and then you're wondering, I'm tired after all my workouts, or I'm sore all the time, or I find myself, my cardio is a mess, or my sleep, I'm not getting the sleep that I need. It might be that you're overtraining or you're trying to do too much, but instead of listening to the body that says, let's opt for something gentle today, let's opt for going for a walk instead of trying to go to the gym and spend 40 minutes doing HIIT or high intensity interval training, let's sleep a little bit more, let's take a nap today. No, we feel that we have to get in the gym and we have to push our bodies. We have to burn these calories. And what does that lead to? It leads to poor recovery. So you're always sore. It leads to reduced immune function, so you're always getting sick. It leads to things like injuries. You twist your ankle for no blessed reason. You pull a muscle in your bicep for no reason. You know what I mean? You're stretching and your back just goes. I mean, that happens whether or not you work out. But the point is, you put yourself at risk when we don't pay attention to what's happening with our bodies because we're using our heads to override that. This is not to say that there won't come a time where you need to override that initial, that innate response. For example, you might want to go back to sleep and you made a promise to yourself that you're going to go to the gym 3 days for the week, but you find yourself hitting that snooze multiple times and it becomes a thing, right? Sometimes you're just going to have to put the phone on the other side of the room and you're like, okay, I know what I'm after. I'm trying to become this person who works out consistently. And it means I'm going to get up. I might be tired, but I'm going to start by putting my shoes on or putting on my gym clothes. The point there is sometimes you're going to do it tired, and doing it tired doesn't mean you're going to go balls to the wall. This means you're going to, instead of maybe doing the workout that you planned, you're going to walk. Or instead of doing the high intense thing, you maybe lower the volume as far as how many sets of whatever exercises you're going to do. The point here is in there's a time for everything. And sometimes you might need to scale back, and other times you might just need to completely stop. But the point here is you're building trust with the body. You are building safety that, okay, I can trust that my body is telling me what it needs and I can respond accordingly. So I can trust when my body says it's hunger, when it's hungry. It's not in my head and my body's hungry. I can trust when my body says it's tired. It's not me being lazy, it's my body being tired. You know what I mean? But it's a process, and it's something that takes years of work. I'm going to say this as somebody who is still actively doing the same. It takes years of work, and most importantly, things like needing to upgrade your wardrobe or check go up a size. That's also part of building trust and safe, creating a safe space for your body. A book that I always recommend to folks read is Your Body's Not an Apology by Sonya Renee
Oh my
Taylor.
God, that's such a good book. That's one of my favorites.
And The Body Liberation Project by Chrissy King. That's another one that every woman needs to read, especially if you're a Black woman. And reconnecting with your body is something that is something you want to do. Yeah. Because a lot of us treat our bodies like something we need to be sorry about.
Well, we know where that comes from.
Right. And I was saying that something like going up a size, and I'm telling you, the moment you let go of what your weight is supposed to be on a scale, let's use that as an example. I'm just gonna say. And instead go for the fact, the same way you explored or you let go of that weight and started exploring what movement could feel like for you, what your curiosity led to exploration. I know, I mean, you are owner bae. I mean, which I love watching your videos. What I'm saying there is when you let curiosity, if you can let go of that, the hold that the weight and the number on the scale has, it can open you up to so much things. So in your case with exercise, you could do that. And you redefined what exercise needed to look like for you to enjoy. There are so many people I know who go to the gym or think the only route is to go to the gym. I can understand you wanting to strength train and needing to do that because you see the value in it. But I know people who do this and they absolutely
Hate
hate
it.
it. And I'm saying that's no way to live. So it's either you reframe the way you think about it, or you find something that you can find some affinity with. You don't hate, you might not absolutely love it, but you see the value in it in such a way that you can enjoy it, right? With your clothes, for and that's the other thing. A lot of us, a lot of women have all these clothes in them closet that
Got my
don't
hand
fit
up for
them.
this one.
It has not fit them in 4 or 5 years, but they keep hoping that it's gonna fit them. Now, I can understand with folks, being constrained by like money, resources, being able to upgrade wardrobe all the time. But if you could look at some key things, bra and underwear, which people underestimate, those things need, if you can get some comfortable bra, and it might mean going up a size, it means nothing about you other than giving your body room to breathe. Because if you've walked around with a bra strap digging into you and an underwear that is digging into you, and you walk around, you spend the whole day just being uncomfortable, that's no way to live, right? Versus when you, I remember the first time I put on a pair of a bra that
That
was the
fits.
right size. I'm telling you, the sigh of relief that my body physically let out from that, I was like, why would I do this? Why would I want to squeeze myself into something because it's one less letter, you know what I mean? Or a number smaller. And I'm like, and the same thing with jean size or, shirt sizes. I'm
Oh
like,
my gosh, when you actually put on clothes that fit,
oh.
I was like, this looks weird because I'm
If
used
you,
to squeezing into stuff.
if you like, I don't think I can explain it much differently, but the physical sigh that my body did, if you were to tap into your body that moment you put on a pair of pants that fits nicely, or a pair of like a bra that doesn't dig into you and it supports you, if you could pay attention to your body, for anybody watching this, if you decided, you know what, I'm gonna try a size up or whatever, a different size than what you've been forcing yourself into. Literally put it on with no expectation other than how does your body feel. I'm not talking about how it looks. I'm talking about how does your body feel when you put that on. And if you can feel that physical sigh of relief that your body literally goes through, it's so, well, for me, it was so visceral. Like down to my fingernails felt it. It changes the relationship you have with yourself. Like you only want to seek out pleasurable experiences. And I will say that pleasure, there's pleasure in putting on clothes that feel good. Just like there's pleasure in lifting a weight, for instance, that you thought you couldn't lift and you did, and you're like, wait, that was easy, or that felt good. Or doing a move that you wanted to try and you weren't sure about it, but you did it, and you're like, okay, all right, your body could get more into this. You know what I mean? Your body gives the signals when something connects, right? Just like how your body gives you the signal when something ain't right. And if we could spend that time paying attention, it would save us, I think. This is just my opinion. I'm neither a therapist. I'm not a therapist. So I'm just saying, if we could spend more time literally tuning into the ways in which our bodies are telling us things, I feel like we would spend less time struggling with honoring our bodies the way we need to, or the way our bodies want us to. So I don't know if that answered the whole safety question, but I remember that's where we started. This is where we
No, that did. That answered the question. And so for anyone that may be listening and they're like, Shaniki gave me a lot of information. I'm overwhelmed. I'm a beginner. I'm someone that be in the gym in January. What is, I don't know why I want to say one win, but maybe it's not a win. Maybe it's like one thing that they can do or one decision or one question that they need to ask themselves as we send them into the world in the beginning of 2024 to eat how they should eat for themselves and how to work out how they should work out for themselves. What would it be?
The I honestly don't have one, but at the top of the list, at the top, that I would say to any beginner or any person venturing out into, nor, and I use the word nourish intentionally, right? What you're doing is to nourish yourself, and the question I would probably ask you is, what does that mean for you? Like, what does eating, more vegetables, and what does that mean for you? What is that going to give you? Or what does going to the gym, what is that going to give you? Because at the end of the day, it has to give you what it is that you're looking for in order for you to keep doing it. And if you can't identify what it's going to give you, I don't care. I know I spoke about your why before, but at the end of the day, some of us will take, it will take us, it will take time for you to get that deep. But the question, so I want to, you to ask, what is it that's going to give me? And I don't care how it might seem. I don't care how you think it might seem. Don't worry about my judgment. Don't worry about anybody else's judgment. Just look honestly, just answer that question for you. So if honestly, if you want to do it because you feel that it will get you the body you want, that's fine. What is it going to give you? And let that be, keep examining that every time you show up, and know that you're doing it for you and only you, for nobody else. And I will, people will talk about, I'm doing this for their kids. I said, no, I don't want to hear about what you're doing. I don't hear about your kids. I don't want to hear about your spouse. I don't want to hear about nothing. I want to hear about you. This, and so on that vein, I'm going to say, be selfish with why or what you're doing. And for anybody listening to this and be like, Shanique's talking crazy, I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to say, be selfish with it, because at the end of the day, it's serving you first before it's serving anybody else. Because a lot of us do it the reverse. We want to serve other people before it serves us. And we lose ourselves in that. And it becomes about what other people want. So let's flip the script and make it serve you, however it needs to serve you. And let that be the thing that pushes you, like drives you every, at every step of the way. Every time you feel like you can't do it, what is it serving you? Self, be selfish about it. And let that, let that be the thing that drives you, because you'll find that as you go along, that it might change, that it might shift, and you might decide, hey, this is not what I want to do. I want to do something different, or I want to do it a different way. Give yourself the permission to do it the other way. You're free to change your mind. You're free to change courses. If it means you stop going to the gym and you find a different way to move, that's perfectly fine. Because that's the other thing, we judge ourselves for not following through. And I say this, not everybody's meant to work out in the gym. Not everybody's meant to eat five meals a day. Right? Not everybody is going to sleep 9 hours. Not everybody is going to want to hike. You know what I mean? Not everybody has access to, walkable spaces where they can walk 30 minutes or an hour every day. The point is, what can you do that serves you? So if you go to the gym and you don't spend an hour, but you spent some time at the gym, and if all you did at the gym was clear your head from 15 minutes of walking on the treadmill, or doing some mat work, that would have been time well spent, because it was spent serving you.
Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? I got some people in my circle. Some pretty amazing people. I hope that this episode changed your way of thinking when it comes to what you eat and what you do with your body. When I tell you, I had to interrupt her when she started talking about creating a safe space for your body. I had to pause right there so that y'all could hear what that is and what that means. Because for us as Black women with bodies that are constantly told that it is not safe, for the history of what has been done with our bodies and how we are constantly given this message that our bodies don't belong to us, I needed her to go in on that. I needed her to go on that. It was so good. Definitely go into the show notes. Make sure you follow Shanique so that you, whatever she's got going on, she's got some amazing things going on coming in this year. So follow her, go say hi, go have a conversation with her, see how she can support you in any lifestyle change that you are looking to have. Please rate and review this. Share it with a friend. Share it with someone you think need to go ahead and get their ass out of the gym because you know that they're not going to be in there for another 2 weeks, okay? I love you so very much. And remember that pleasure is your birthright. You are deserving, and there is nothing that you need to do other than be yourself to experience it. Talk to you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. And I hope today's conversation has inspired you to embrace pleasure in all aspects of your life. Remember, your voice matters in this journey. Share your thoughts and experiences by leaving a review and stay connected with our community by joining our email list. The link is in the show notes. Together, we're redefining what it means to savor life and celebrate the joy in just being you. Until next time, keep prioritizing your pleasure because you are deserving. Take care and stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Bye.